Morning, and you are in the zone on the fan on a Vikings game day. It's Sinekin and Tucker for the next 2 hours. Glad to have you with us in the zone. Come on, Brianna, bring it up, bring it up, bring it up. There we go. Great to be with you as always. Our last shot to be in this studio for the next couple weeks as we will be out at the great Minnesota Get Together the next two Saturdays. It'll be me, Dave Sinekin, and my partner, the professor of Hoopology, Double T, Trent Tucker, who is in the house. Good morning.
Good morning, Davey.
You're excited, aren't you?
Yeah, man. Looking forward to it, you know?
It's an annual rite of late summer as I tap dance the beginning of the show, as I glare and stare out in the distance and see you approaching from the whatever direction that is. Making your way to our booth. Usually you're there by about 8:03.
Just in time.
Just
in time.
Could be there a couple minutes early, but yeah, close enough. As I always say, you're not tempted like I would be, you know, by a couple of food booths on the way. It's a straight line for you.
Well, things are closed, you know, when I'm walking.
No.
Some things are.
Well, maybe some things are. Some There's plenty. Believe me, in the however many years we've been doing this, I know all the food stands to hit on the way to the fan booth at the State Fair. And that's why I look the way I look, and you look the way you look.
Well, you know, maybe this year I may stop by at a few. Check out a few things. Mini donuts, alligator on a stick.
You're such a liar. People bring us mini donuts, and you don't even take one. You just look at them, and I'm snarfing them down.
Oh, how about alligator on a stick?
You know, my kids love those.
Yeah.
It's like a sausage. So it's, to me, it's not like, you know, it could be anything.
Not a real alligator?
Well, it is, I'm sure, but you'd have no idea. It tastes like sausage.
Well, I mean, you know, I have to trust the person that's selling it, right?
That's true. That's all we can do. My kids are very partial to crab fritters. Okay. And those guys always bring some. Whenever I'm at the fair it's usually on the Tuesday or Wednesday when we do the great NFC North debate, and I have not heard a date yet for that.
Are you in PA?
Yep, PA, Lavelle. Usually Commons not invited because the Lions to PA are irrelevant, though they were in the playoffs. There are always crab fitters that day for some reason. So those guys are very nice to the Paul Allen Project. I was looking forward to that, being at the fair the next two Saturdays. Today, of course, we are here. Next Saturday, by the way, Mr. Tucker, will be the morning after the next Vikings game. The Vikes play Friday night at the bank against one of your favorite teams, a team that in your mind should have won another Super Bowl, the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh.
Friday night. So please make no plans. I want to get one of these yellow.
You want four detail?
Yeah, yellow legal pad. Take some notes.
I will.
Do some prep.
I'll do some scouting.
Yeah. See what you think of your. Because next Friday, that's the game. That's week three. That's.
Some game analysis.
Kirk and company could be out there for the whole first half, maybe more. That's the preseason game to watch.
I listen to Pete and PA, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You can simulcast it because I think that's what they do on TV. It's a fun night for me because we'll have the Vikes Seahawks at 7, and then I'll dip into Packers Raiders at 9:30. So a rare NFL doubleheader for
John Gruden, right?
Friday night. John Gruden against his former team.
Chucky?
The Pack.
Child's play, right?
Correct. But first things first, the Vikings have a game today. It's the preseason home opener. The pregame coverage follows our show. This must be, I don't ever remember a Saturday noon preseason football game.
I'm with you.
I've never heard of such a thing. So Vikings, NFL, Sunday, is that what we're calling it? Whatever it is. The pregame show will begin following our program at 10 o'clock.
At 10 a.m.?
Which means
no fantasy football?
It's been bumped. It will be on today. It'll follow the postgame show. I think they're figuring about a 4:30 start, and they'll be live from the Expo Center at Canterbury Park today for their annual fantasy football training camp. So
I think I might have been live from U.S. Bank.
No, they will be at Canterbury Park, so I encourage all you fantasy football geeks, head to the track, do some wagering on the ponies while you watch the Vikes, then head to the Expo Center and enjoy a live show, and then the PowerPoint deep dive into all things fantasy football to get you set for your draft. That's following Vikings football today on The Fan. Very special. August Saturday on The Fan, which continues with our show. We're here till 10. I'll be honest, Trent, I always go to the Panera across the street.
Okay.
A little prep on a Saturday morning.
Did you make it this morning?
I did.
What'd you come up with?
Very little. This is like, granted, it's a Vikings game day. We'll talk about the Jaguar game, but it's preseason. There's very little going on.
It's a lot going on.
Well, then you tell me what we should talk about.
Cincinnati Open.
I did?
A little tennis.
What Open?
The Cincinnati Open.
The Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's Western and Southern.
Dude, I'm not that hard up. I do have some things to talk about. Did you watch your guy Tiger last weekend?
How fun was that?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, on 17 on the weekend, I think cost in the championship.
Yeah, that tee shot.
Well, yeah, I mean, he had a par five, mm-hmm. and he went for an eagle on Saturday. I thought he was a little too aggressive. Mm-hmm. Get the bogey, get into the clubhouse at 9 under.
Yep.
Instead, you go into 8 under, and then he plays. He couldn't find the fairway, but he was able to scramble and put some low scores up. But on 17, he hit the bad tee shot. I thought
that pretty much ended it.
I thought a 17 on both of those days came back to haunt him and cost him a chance to win, a major championship again.
But how electric was that? That was just
it was fun.
It was how long have we been waiting to see him in a major give us that kind of performance? That was great, and hopefully he's back. And next year he'll be competing for majors.
Yeah, I mean, but it was some really, really good solid play from a lot of players, the ground softened up in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Many people thought going into that tournament, a lot of guys would struggle. But once they had the heavy rains, during the week, ground softened up. Players could shoot toward the pin, so it was fun to watch.
Yeah, it was a great leaderboard. All the big names were there, and Bruce Koepka now quietly.
Koepka's.
No one was cheering for the guy except Mrs. Koepka, his mom,
and his girlfriend.
Yes, who could use a few meals. I mean,
She's good. She's good.
Dangerously thin. She needs to stop at the state fair.
She's all good. She's
have
all
one of those those grinders.
She's hanging out with another major champion. She's good.
Stop at the Blue Moon Drive-In for some breakfast.
She's all good.
She could put on a couple.
She's all good. But he was stellar. I mean, he was solid. When the pressure was there, he was cool, calm, and collected.
He was.
And it would have been interesting to see if he and Tiger, when the final two pairing and Tiger was making a run, and to hear the roar of that crowd.
If they were playing together.
Yeah.
See if he can handle that.
Yeah.
He grew up idolizing Tiger, and so.
But he was terrific coming down the stretch, man. Watching them play at the Open Championship as well.
Correct.
He was solid.
All right, before we move on to Vikings football, who do you got in the Cincinnati Open?
My guy, Roger. Hoping that he can find a way to.
This is a real tournament?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
All the big boys are there.
Isn't it U.S. Open time?
Well, yeah, that's why they're getting ready.
This is the warm-up?
It's the U.S. Open Series.
I see.
So the big boys are getting ready to make their way to the Big Apple.
Now, do you actually watch these tournaments?
Often, no doubt about it. When you have Roger and Djokovic and Nadal and,
Is it on like ESPN 7? What's it on? I mean,
Tennis Channel.
There is not a tennis channel.
There's a tennis channel.
There is?
Yeah, Tennis Channel, Tennis Channel Plus, where Champion lives.
You could not make up that on the fly, so I choose to believe you. Wow, that's news to me. Okay, let's move on. The fan has learned the Vikings play a football game today. It's their second preseason game. Are we going to see Dalvin Cook? I've heard kind of conflicting reports. Some reporters think he may play. Some say no
chance. If
he's
not ready, there's no need.
Yeah, I don't know what you gain.
Why rushing back?
You want to see him maybe get hit once or twice before the opener, maybe next week in that dress rehearsal game. I don't think there's any, real need. We see guys, again, it's a topic every year at this point. The Patriots' number one draft pick tore his ACL, their left tackle, gone for the year. Last night, the Bills' starting quarterback, well, he was a holder, a placeholder, A.J. McCarron, broke his collarbone.
A.J.?
So he's out for a while. Wow. So you just, you want to dodge.
What's the game of injuries? I mean,
you want to be careful.
There are certain things you just can't avoid. I mean, injuries are a part of the game, but for a person like Dalvin Cook, if you don't think he's ready and you want to give him some more time and get him prepared for the regular season, there's no need to rush him back.
Right. I mean, there are certain players, experience-wise and positions, where it does make sense, like a lineman. If you've got a guard or a tackle who's been out and you want to get some kind of cohesion and rhythm with your line, then you want to get some reps for the guy. A running back whose main responsibilities are either A, take this and go, or B, make sure the guy behind you doesn't get hit by anybody coming at him. You don't need a ton of reps for that. It's just get your conditioning and be ready. So I don't think it's a major thing. I think it's more for the fans that, are heading out to U.S. Bank today that would love to see number 33 get a couple carries, knock the rust off, and show that he can take a hit, get back up, and he's okay for 2018.
Yeah, you want to make sure that knee is sound. I mean, because you're talking about a young player who had a serious injury, and you want to protect his future. And you want to make sure that he's ready to go and so that he can help your football team going forward.
So the Jags and the Vikes have been practicing together the last couple of days.
No fighting.
No, because Zim hates fighting. Zim is not a fan of fighting. That you want to get in Zim's doghouse, start fighting, either amongst yourselves or with the other team. Don't do that during the preseason. So I think everybody was on their best behavior. There were some weather issues, moving the practice indoors, outdoors. I love the idea of practicing with another team. And as I said, I think that's the way it's going to go, is they cut down preseason games. I think teams are going to match up and partner up and simulate some game action in the coming years when the preseason is shortened. So I think it's a great look. Two of the best defenses, putting pressure on the opposing offenses in preseason. So they've been hitting each other for a couple days. They'll play today. And, beyond staying as healthy as possible, there are plenty of things to work out. And with the Vikes, where the starters are pretty much entrenched, it's the depth issue. It's like we read today in the paper, Mackenzie Alexander, in some players' eyes, has taken a step up. Fans will be watching him in that nickel role. Does he look like a guy that was drafted in the second round? Is he ready? Between him and Waynes made a bit of a step last year.
He did.
Those guys need to step up for this defense to feel complete, because that's the one maybe issue. You're fine in the front seven, your safeties are good, but what kind of depth do you have at corner?
Well, when you make a run to the NFC Championship game, you have to get better the following season. You don't want guys to go into the offseason to rest on the accomplishment the year before.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that you are a Super Bowl championship contending team, players have to get better during the offseason. You have to add some extra talent as well. You have to fill those holes in where now you can rely on guys who can come in off the bench and give you a punch as well.
Lots to break down and talk about the purple. We certainly welcome your input today. Would love to hear your thoughts on what you're watching for, what you're excited to watch as the Vikes open the home portion of their preseason schedule today at noon. You know the drill, 651-989-5326, toll-free 800-320-5326, or let your fingers do the talking. Email us to the Bradshaw and Bryant inbox, booth@kfan.com. In the Zone, just getting started on The Fan.
You're in the Zone with Dave Sinekin and Trent Tucker on The Fan.
When you look up scene stealing in the dictionary, you see Aretha's face, and you think of the Blues Brothers and the fantastic diner scene where she belted out this one, pretty much telling Matt Guitar Murphy, you ain't going nowhere. Didn't work, but it was a great scene. We lost maybe the greatest voice we've ever heard. Aretha passed away earlier this week, and Trent is a fellow Michigander. I know you're an Aretha fan from way back.
And, big time.
That's a big loss, but obviously we can listen to her music
forever.
Forever, and that's a beautiful thing.
You know, during that time, you know, listening to Smokey Robinson the other night, you know, talk about, you know, how close he and Aretha were as friends. They grew up as kids together in Detroit, and I was listening to him the other night, and he talked about when he went to her house for the first time, and he was a good friend with her brother Cecil. And he walks in, he hears this voice and someone playing a piano, and he goes into this room to see who this person is, and it was a 5-year-old Aretha Franklin.
Wow.
You know, doing her thing, and but just to, you know, just that voice and the command that she had and the presence that she presented, you know, was fantastic. And you know, we lost a pioneer to the music industry, you know, the queen of soul. She was one of the best.
I found it really, I don't know if ironic's the right word or coincidental, whoever figured this out first, but she passed away on the same day as Elvis.
Really?
So the queen and the king both died on the same day. And then Babe Ruth, too.
Wow.
And he was, what, the Sultan of Swat? Is that what they called him? So the queen, the king, and the sultan all passed away on the same day. That's like greater powers above us working wonders, I think. That's pretty cool.
You know, like Smokey Robinson said, there was so much talent, you know, at that time in Detroit. And what made, you know, Detroit Motown was they had Berry Gordy. You know, Berry Gordy was the guy that was able to bring all this collection of talent together and expose it to the world.
Indeed, but Aretha never signed with Motown.
I know.
She was, I think, Atlantic Records, maybe?
Yeah. Right, but she was still a part of that.
Oh, you know, no that, doubt. The amount of talent in Motor City.
You had the Four Tops. You had the Temptations. You had Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. And, you know, Aretha Franklin, Diana Ross and the Supremes. You know, Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff. I'd love to know what she sounded like at 5 years old. Like,
he said, listen to Smokey Robinson the other night talk about, you know, hearing this 5-year old, you know, play the piano and also singing at the same time. He said he thought it was an adult in the room.
Hmm. There's a great Soul Train video making the rounds since her passing where she's at the piano with Smokey and Don Cornelius asks her to sing a Smokey song just out of the blue, and they do a duet on Ooh Baby Baby, and it's pretty cool stuff. It's for fans of that era. It's great stuff. Yeah, big loss, and maybe we'll play some more of her music throughout our show today. Football-centric right now, not a lot of hoops to talk about. Let's just quickly touch on the quickly disappearing Minnesota Lynx.
Yeah.
What the heck, Mr. Tucker?
Well, you know, I think you and I talked about this before, maybe a few weeks ago. You know, this is a team that has made, you know, some long runs every single year toward a WNBA championship. But also you have to look at the time of work that these ladies put in, you know, during their season abroad. And at some point in time, you know, the tank becomes empty. And we're hoping that, you know, during Lindsay Whalen's last run, she's going to retire at the end of the season to become the head coach for the University of Minnesota women's basketball team. Somehow, some way, they can find just enough energy to make one more final run.
6 losses in 8 games last night. They fell 96-79 to Connecticut. They are now 17-16. The Lynx are 17-16. They are the 7 seed, which means they'll play a 1-game playoff Tuesday at Phoenix. And as you just alluded to, which was next on my sheet, Lindsay announces her retirement this week. This is not the way the storybook ending is supposed to happen. Unless they have one of these, you know, now they get on a run, and here they go, and they beat Phoenix, and they have to play another 1-game playoff a couple days later. And it's the odds are against them because they're just not playing well, and you'd like Lindsay to go out certainly on a higher note. But however it ends for the Lynx in the coming week or weeks, we are seeing the end of maybe the most storied basketball player to come from this state since Kevin McHale, right? I mean, the career that Lindsay Whalen has fashioned, and obviously the trade here mid-career certainly jump-started things for Gopher fans because now they got to watch her. I know you're a huge Lindsey Whalen fan.
Oh, for sure.
When you describe her to your boys who are too young to really follow hoops, you know, in 10 years when they're teenagers and, you know, Dad, we see that number up in the rafters. Was she good? What was she good at? What made her a great player? How will you tell them about Lindsey?
A winner.
A winner?
Yep. She always found a way to win.
They want more detail. They need more detail than that.
Found a way to win. I mean, you know, she had extreme confidence in her ability. You know, she knew how to pull a team together. She had that mental toughness, you know, to overcome tough situations, you know, throughout a game. You know, just a winner. I mean, you know, we talk about that it factor. You know, Lindsey Whalen had that it factor.
No question about it. And, you know, we talked, when she took the Gophers job, the idea that she would play and coach seemed odd. She's not the first person to do it, but taking over a Big Ten program is a full-time job, the fan has learned. And so I don't think anybody was real surprised that, you know, following the summer, she was going to hang up the sneakers and make the Gopher job the full-time gig. And for someone that's been a winner, as you say, from her days in Hutchinson to the Gophers to the WNBA, you know, obviously Gopher Nation is hoping she'll resurrect this program and make it a Big Ten power, and that'll be her next challenge. What about her personality? What about the fact that, in your mind, she is a winner, sets her up to succeed in a very tough job recruiting and trying to win against big programs in the Big Ten?
Well, it's you know, things will be different for the first time for her because now she has to go into someone's living room and convince, you know, that family that their child or that player should come and play for her. And also, for the first time, she would not be in control of the basketball with 3 minutes to go late in the second half.
Right.
So now she's going to have to depend on someone else to make those plays coming down the stretch. Put a good staff together, you know, someone that can manage and handle all the day-to-day stuff, make sure that everything is organized from a practice standpoint so that all the players understand exactly what they're supposed to do, and then let her do what she does best, manage the game, teach the game, and talk the game on a daily basis.
We wish her the best. The Lynx and the WNBA will not be the same without her, but it'll be fun to watch what she can do with your alma mater, the maroon and gold. All right, to the zone lines we go. Let's head up to Brooklyn Park, see what Matt has on his mind this morning. Hey, Matt.
Morning, guys. Trent, you know, there's not many guarantees in life. One is that at least a couple times a year, your partner will refer to my Lions as what, Dave? Say the word.
Motor City Kitties?
Dave, irrelevant.
Well, that's
irrelevant.
PA, but I'm just quoting PA. I don't believe that, but that's PA's bit.
Okay. But the other guarantee is Aretha. It was phenomenal. I'm so glad you guys did that. And Dave, that scene in The Blues Brothers, you're right, it's fantastic. Everybody needs to see it. But Trent, did either of you ever see her in concert by any chance?
I did not.
I did.
Where did you see her, Trent? Do you remember the venue? Was it in Michigan?
It was a small venue in Detroit. You know, years and years and years ago. It was wow. Nice to just you know, because back then you could just pop in somewhere and you know, exactly. Big time stars would just show up. And
yeah, which rarely happens now. Yeah. Exactly. Well, it's funny, Trent. Of course, you've got me reminiscing because you just had to mention Gladys and the
Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Four Tops. And I didn't see Aretha. I wish I would have, but I saw the Temptations and the Four Tops together. And it was at a place called Premier Center. I don't know if you remember it. It was at 15 and Van Dyke in Warren. And it was a converted movie theater and a nightclub thing. It was absolutely fantastic. I'll take that stuff, you guys, over what we hear now, other than maybe Bruno Mars. He's kind of similar. I think he's been influenced by them. But Aretha was fantastic, and we are going to miss her. Dave, I think out of respect, no pun intended, instead of you playing that Todd Rundgren song every week during Packer Preview, play Respect. For this year, what do you think? Is that a possibility? Can you get your guys to do that?
It would be more fitting if she was spelling out relax, you know, than respect, you know, for the pack. But I like the idea.
Well, there you go. Anyway, guys, I don't want to take too long on this. I wanted to mention something. I'm glad you brought up the golf. After Tiger birdied that 18th hole, now, you guys, I know we've seen this a lot of times, but the camera followed him all the way into where they signed the score. You guys, did you find it as amazing as I did when he went over that bridge? He looks down at the gallery. Every single person basically forgot that Scott and Koepka still had to finish out 18. They were saluting Tiger. I just thought it was just fantastic. I'm rooting for him. he and Ricky Fowler are the two that I really want to win a major. But did you guys find that as amazing as I did? How he's just, he's gotten everybody back. There's no question about it. So thanks, guys. Have a great weekend, and let me know what you think.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for the call, Matt. Yeah, it's an entirely different world when Tiger is a competitor. Somebody tweeted me earlier and said, is golf better when Tiger's in the hunt? Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, the ratings for the PGA tournament won't be topped again until he's in contention again. It's a different universe in golf when Tiger is a competitive player. And so, yeah, it was for, I think for a lot of dads, and my kids don't watch golf with me, but for a lot of dads that have been talking about Tiger for the last 15, 20 years to their kids who have no idea what he was like, if they were watching last week, you got a glimpse of what the, 90s and the first part of the century were like when Tiger owned the world. There's just, I mean, Rockstar doesn't even do him justice. He was bigger than a rock star.
Well, you know, he's a guy that has elevated golf to where it is today. He was able to move the needle. And every time that the Tiger was on television, the casual golf fan would sit down.
Which is you.
Would sit down and tune in.
Right.
I mean, last weekend, you know, all day Saturday, I was glued to the TV set, you know, watching Tiger Woods. And Sunday, I had to run in and run out, you know, running here and running there, taking kids back and forth to certain things. But I never turned off the television. I made sure when I came back home that it was still on just to see where Tiger was at. And hearing that, he could not hit the fairway. And he was always somewhere over to the left or to the right, but he was able to find a way to scramble himself back and put himself in position, you know, to make some plays coming down the stretch. It was just fantastic for golf, but also it was fantastic for the casual fan once again to see Tiger back in the hunt.
Right, and that's why the ratings were insane because, yes, the casual fan was hearing and finding out what was going on and could not miss it. Was this the day that Tiger would rise up to the top of the golf world? It wasn't, but what it does is it puts him in the conversation for the Ryder Cup, which is coming up now in about a month, overseas this time. And, you know, Jim Furyk's the captain. It's his call. Can't imagine he would leave Tiger off his team. I mean, there's plenty of serviceable players. But he's got to be getting pressure, right, from the TV networks, from the Ryder Cup, that, dude, if it's close, there's no coin flipping here. You put him on the team.
If it's close. If it's close. I mean, if it's close, Tiger should get the nod.
Yeah.
You know, but if you believe that he hasn't shown enough or done enough at this stage, you have to take the best players.
Yeah, I think he has. I mean, granted, it's one tournament, but even in an earlier major, he was, you know, right there.
Yeah, he was good at the Open Championship.
In the big events, he's starting to make his mark, and it hasn't been week in, week out yet, but clearly it appears he's closer and closer to being the player he was.
Like you said, you know, it just feels good, you know, once again to be healthy, and knowing that, you know, you can go out and practice and you can participate, you know, without the pain. And that's the one thing that most athletes fear the most, you know, when they have surgery and they have, you know, a number of injuries, you know, will their bodies be able to come back to show some sort of normalcy once again?
Yeah, I read the book that was written, I forget now who wrote it, about the Ryder Cup that was here last year, or was it 2016, whatever it was. And Tiger was sort of that honorary captain guy that just wanted to hang around the team, which is such a far cry from how he used to be, very, you know, did his own thing, wasn't very social with the guys. And in this case, he was the guy kind of egging the players on and trying to be one of the guys. And it would really, I think, be fitting that the very next Ryder Cup, he earns his way back as an actual player. Now, his career Ryder Cup record is not great, especially on match play Sundays. And I know that nags at him. And the opportunity to maybe come back and play some meaningful golf for a Ryder Cup team has to rank right up there with winning another major. So that'll be a really interesting thing to watch here these next few weeks as the Ryder Cup team comes together. My guess is Tiger makes the team.
You know, and just for him to realize that, you know, I'm back. I can compete once again. I can play against the best in the world. And for his confidence, it's going to go to a whole new level. But to be a part of a team and to represent your country and to see if you can go out there once again and make some tough putts coming down the stretch, you know, to put your team in a situation, you know, to win. I know he's dying to get back to that.
8:35, we have to step away. Plenty more NFL discussion. We welcome your input. In the Zone on the Fan returns right after these.
You're in the Zone on the Fan.
All right, we're back. It almost seems sacrilegious to interrupt the Queen, but that's what we do. It's 8:41 on the Fan. You're in the zone. Trent Tucker, Dave Sinekin here until 10 o'clock. Again, remember, Fantasy Football Weekly will air following the Vikings post-game show today. Vikings Football Sunday on a Saturday follows our program at 10 o'clock because you need 2 hours to get ready for preseason football. Kickoff at noon at U.S. Bank Stadium. P.A., Bursich, Coleman, cast of thousands. I look forward to seeing Greg at his annual Celebrity Golf Tournament Tuesday at Bunker Hills, dressed as always, green and gold, head to toe, so the mockery can ensue. But Greg's raised so much money over the years for some wonderful Twin Cities organizations. It's always a treat to play in his golf tournament. Looking forward to that on Tuesday. Vikings game today. Vikings, Jaguars. Got to say, two of the top defenses in the league going head-to-head, and we'll see how much they both play after hitting each other for a couple of days.
Well, they should know each other.
Jalen Ramsey didn't make the trip, did he, after mouthing off to the press?
He decided to stay home?
I think they asked him to stay home.
Oh.
I don't really understand what he gains by ripping rookie quarterbacks, so he's never really seen. Like, he called Josh Allen, the Bills quarterback, trash. What has he, how much has he seen him play? I mean, what does he gain by that? I mean, it's good to be outspoken. Speak your mind. It's going to get you in print, but I don't know. Going a little too far, just ripping guys.
That, yeah, I'm with you on that.
But anyway, Vikes Jags should be interesting.
I would say let your play do the talking for you.
Exactly. That's how it should be. Two trendy picks to make it to the Super Bowl, right? Vikes and Jags. Wouldn't be shocked if.
Vikes look very good against the Broncos. Kirk Cousins in his first try, 4 for 4, right? Touchdown. Take a seat.
Let's not read too much into that, shall we?
Hey, you know, that's all I got to go on right now, right?
I kind of felt gypped with my Aaron Rodgers performance on Thursday night. He only played one series, unlike Tom Brady, who I think played six series. So, very first play of the Packer game, Mason Rudolph gets pick six by Tremont Williams. Packers up 7-0, 7 seconds into the game. Kickoff. The Packers' vaunted defense forces a 3-and-out, shank a punt, and Rodgers takes over on the Steelers' 40. Gets a 12-man on the field bit, something he loves to do. So he only has to go 35 yards, which he does with ease, a long pass to Devontae Adams. He hits Jimmy Graham for a touchdown, 2 for 4, all passes. They didn't even run the ball. Aaron's out there. Let's see what they got. 2 for 4, 35 yards, touchdown. He puts the baseball cap on, and he's done. It's such a tease. You want more, but then you remember, all right, your left tackle, who was carted off 2 weeks ago, is out there, but not 100%. Your right tackle's not playing. Your backup tackles, frankly, don't show that they can play very well. So the idea of having Aaron Rodgers out there much more than that was probably foolish, but you just want to see more and more. And then Viking fans today are going to want to see more and more of number 8.
But time is coming.
Won't be long.
Yeah.
Just a few weeks away.
That's a great Yogi Bear once says, getting late early.
Whatever that means, he did say. Let's head to the zone lines. We would love to hear from you. If you want to chat about the NFL or anything you have on your mind, give us a call. We would love to chat with you. Let's welcome our good friend John in Minneapolis. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Sinekin. Good morning, Mr. Tucker.
John, what's up, my man?
I'm going to put it like this before I get to my NFL takes. RIP to one Aretha Louise Franklin. Y'all played my favorite song from her, Think, and I just had a flashback of watching the Blues Brothers, and I'm going to put some of the Blues Brothers in my question for Mr. Sinekin. Just to see all the musical magic in that movie, just to see all the magicians that were in that movie, the singers. You got Aretha, you got Ray Charles, you got John Lee Hooker, James Brown, Chaka Khan, good Lord. I just had a little moment.
Yeah, it's a great, one of my all-time favorite movies.
I know, mine too. I got to get me a copy. I got to get with my hookup, get a copy of that just to watch her sing and think. But RIP go out to her. That was just a powerful voice, and I need to leave it out there because I'm starting to tear up here.
But, John, there is this thing called YouTube, and you can just, you know, watch that scene for free, about 3 minutes of your life. I'd recommend trying it.
Unfortunately, Mr. Sinekin, John from Minneapolis is a tech caveman. I don't believe in social media at all.
Well, it's not social media. It's the Internet. Do you believe in the Internet?
I don't believe in the Internet.
You don't?
Nope.
Okay.
Getting to my NFL take, Mr. Senegan, I think it might be all over for my boy. I got a contact with the Packers. They said it might be all over for Mr. J. Boogie, which brings me to my Blues brother take. did the sun come down from Aaron Rodgers' hand and point at J. Boogie and say, hey, do you see the light? And he said to Mr. Rodgers, what light? And that's when I don't think it's going to work out for him. It's a wide receiver that Rodgers liked. What's his name, Kumerio?
Jay Kumerow.
Yeah, I think he like him a little bit better than Jay Boogie. I think he's going to knock him out the box. But that's the last thing I'm going to say about the Packers. I don't want Mr. Senegan getting the green head on me. But I can't wait to see the Vikings and the Jaguars get down today. Mr. Senegan.
Yes, sir.
I get to bust out an all-time favorite of mine. From when I first saw Percy Harvin, I get to bust out the Percios. People don't know what Percios are. They're nothing but frosted Cheerios. Let it go. But I get to bust that out when I first saw Percy Harvin. I'm going to enjoy today's game, see what the Vikings and the offensive line look like today against the Jaguars. And a question for y'all. What's going to go down eventually with Dez Bryant? Is he going to sign with somebody? And I get off and let y'all speak on it. In his own.
See you, John. I'm glad he's going to watch the game because clearly he's not going to go online later and read about it. He's going to need to watch it live. Dez Bryant went to Cleveland for a workout, did not leave with a deal. You know, he had talked before, like, I don't want to go there. Like, you know, he wants to choose where he wants to play. But here we are midway through the preseason and no one's dying to bring Dez in. So whether he ends up in Cleveland or waits for a team that maybe loses a receiver.
People can wait. People can wait for Dez Bryant now. They can wait for him. They don't have to. You know, he's not a guy that, you know, they have to knock on his door very quickly and beg him to come in. You know, they have time. They can wait for him.
He needs to go to a team with a big-time quarterback that will put him in his place. He can be a pretty big personality. We've seen the discord among his former teammates. I think the situation needs to be right. I don't think a young quarterback situation in Cleveland where they want to get Baker Mayfield on the field, I don't think Baker and Dez is a great combo. Now, he may not have any options. If that's the only team that offers him a deal, he may end up taking it. But for Dez Bryant, to me, in a perfect world, you know, a Super Bowl winning or level quarterback that's established is the best landing spot for Dez Bryant, just to make sure he understands his place in the pecking order.
Well, if he signs a one-year deal, and you and I have talked about this extensively, when you have guys who want to play beyond that one-year deal, you know, they will always be on their best behavior.
Correct.
So wherever he goes, he's not. I don't believe that he's going to get a long-term deal.
No,
he's going to be
a one-year
situation. And wherever he goes, you want to get the best of Dez Bryant.
Yeah, I think he's hoping that, you know, some team loses a receiver in the preseason and needs a, you know, something to step right in, the guy that's done it. So I think he's hoping that something like that comes down. Quickly on his J. Boogie, he's referring to Jamon Moore, the Packers' fourth-round pick and first of three drafted wide receivers. Jamon Moore out of Missouri, the knock on him, Trent, was dropping the ball, and that's all he's done so far.
Oh, that's a bad deal.
And that's all he's done. He's done it in both games, dropped touchdowns in both games so far.
You know, he may have to go.
Well, I'd say it'll be interesting to see if, you know, barring injuries, and Jake Kumerow, the kid that Rodgers has been touting, he had an 82-yard touchdown catch Thursday night. I think it was 4 for 113. On the touchdown, though, he kind of somersaulted in and sprained his shoulder a little bit. Doesn't sound bad, but it will halt his progress. But I texted PA yesterday as they were joking about him. I like to call him Thielen 2.0. Not because he's going to become Adam Thielen. He's not a rookie. He's been on the Bengals practice squad, the Patriots, but he went to UW-Whitewater like Thielen went to Minnesota Mankato. He's got bloodlines. You know, his dad's Eric Kumerow, the former Bengal player. I think he's going to make the team, and he looks, to me, like he's the fourth best receiver on the Packers roster. I'd love to see him make it. J. Boogie, however, you don't cut fourth-rounders too often. But if he doesn't make a big charge the next 2 weeks, he might be one of the rare exceptions.
He may boogie out.
Huh? He might boogie his way out of Titletown for sure. To Crystal we go. Jerry joins the program. Good morning.
Good morning. How you doing?
We are doing well.
Hey, listen, being the fourth best receiver on a team with only one good receiver isn't high accolades, I'll say. But anyway, listen.
Really? Don't like Randall Cobb or Jimmy Graham, huh?
Yeah, Devontae Adams. He's a tight end.
Okay, he'll play receiver. He'll play receiver for the Pack, but okay.
All right. So anyway, let's break down what I think the Vikings and the Packs will do this year. It's preseason. I think the Vikes will go 12-4, and their O-line will be a little better than people expect. I think that their 2-3-year guys are going to step up and play well, and I imagine Spielman will make a move here at the end. I got the Packers at 8-8, and I'll tell you why. You watched the game last night. Rodgers, in that first series, was running for his life. And you got to look at his history lately. I mean, the guy appears to be made of balsa wood and paper mache. It don't take much for him to get hurt and knocked out. And I don't think they're going to block. They don't got a running game. I don't see him making the season again. What are your thoughts on the year?
I think you got the two teams flip-flop myself. Thanks for the call. No, I don't think the Vikes are 8-8, but I think they're both 10-11 win teams. I do. I think one way or the other, they'll both be in the playoffs. Packers' offensive line is not deep, but I think when healthy, the starting five is just fine. Rodgers has broken his collarbone two of the last 5 years, and those are the only two injuries he suffered. Now, they were longer-term variety, but no, I don't subscribe to the 8-8. I look at the Packers' schedule. They need to get out to a fast start trend. I've talked about this. The first five or six games, Green Bay will be first six games, they'll be favored in every game. So if they can get out to a 5-1 start, something like that, they'll be in good shape. If they struggle early, then it might get dicey because they've got a stretch the month of November where they play three primetime road games in 4 weeks, and they play at the Rams at 3 o'clock. So they play 4 out of 5 on the road. The night games, and at the top of my head, I'm not going to remember them, but they're all – Seattle's the easiest of the three primetime night, road games. But they're all tough, and Patriots are one of them. So November's dicey, and the Packers have notoriously been a slow starting team. If they don't get out to a quick start, things might go pear-shaped. But I do think they'll be ready. I think Rodgers is on a mission. The last time he came back from a broken collarbone, he was the MVP the next season. And I think we'll see that kind of year from Rodgers. And as far as a running game goes, might take a little while. But by week 4, 5, 6, I think Aaron Jones will show he is the star in the making. That we've talked about how his stats mirrored Dalvin Cook's for the time they both played. He had more explosive runs than anybody in football over that four-week period. Aaron Jones looks like a guy that could resurrect the running game. The first 2 weeks, Green Bay's running game has been terrible, but I'm not getting crazy about it.
Well, they're going to have to run the football for sure to balance off the offense. We all know how good Aaron Rodgers is, you know, but at some point in time, he's going to need some relief. You know, he just can't stand back there and run around. I hope to beat some of these teams just by throwing the football 50, 60 times a game. And if his offensive line is going to force him in situations where he's going to have to run for his life more times than not, you know, then the major concern comes up, you know, will he get hurt again?
Right. And, you know, I always find it humorous. I have one receiver, Devontae Adams. Well, before last season, the Packers had one receiver, Jordy Nelson. And then Adams, you know, came around. Maybe it's Geronimo Allison. That steps up. Randall Cobb stays healthy.
I believe Jimmy Graham is going to pay huge dividends, you know, for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the only concern that I have for Jimmy Graham is that, you know, if it gets late to December and early January, a guy who hasn't really played, you know, in cold weather football in a long time at the NFL level, you know, will he be able to handle the frozen tundra
of Lambeau Field?
Yeah.
Let's just hope he's healthy. I'd like to see him try. 8:55, we're late for a break. We'll take it now. 1 hour in the books, second hour to come. Plenty on the Vikes-Jaguars game, which certainly coverage follows our show. Kickoff at noon today. Stay with us. In the Zone returns right after these.
You're in the Zone with Trent Tucker and Dave Sinekin on The Fan. We'll be right back.
Back with you at 9:01. You're in the zone on the Fan. Tucker and Sinekin with you till the top of the hour. We'll hand things off to Vikings Football Sunday. 2 hours to get you set for the home preseason opener at the U.S. Bank Stadium today. Vikings, Jaguars, noon kickoff, PA on the call. Following the postgame show, Fantasy Football Weekly, broadcasting live today from Canterbury Park. Following the program, it'll be the Fantasy Football Training Camp, free to watch at Canterbury Park in the Expo Center. Live racing starts at 12:45, so you can watch the Vikes, bet on the ponies.
Are you going out?
I will be out there.
You will?
I will, at some point this afternoon. I guess maybe race 5 or 6, head out there, try to...
Will you put a few bets down on the ponies?
Of course.
That's right, you are a gambling man.
I might play a little poker. Might bet the ponies.
Are you still doing the Wednesday night stuff?
Of course.
Wow.
Wednesday night poker game is...
Now, how long has that been?
Oh, man. I've been here 25 years. I've been playing since I've been here. They've been playing longer than I have. So, yeah, probably 35 years-ish. It's a Wednesday night tradition. It's as good as it gets.
Yeah.
Although I've been in a bit of a slump.
You're very consistent with some of the things you do, right? Over the years.
I like to think so.
You know, poker, you know, in zone.
Yeah.
You know, Canterbury Park.
Okay.
Know.
I'll go with it.
Yeah, I said you're very consistent.
All right, that's a good adjective to have, right? To be a consistent person.
No doubt about it.
It's a good thing.
You know, consistency leads to success.
All right, good to know. We
obviously may win a few championships along the way, but
that would be nice. I'm still waiting for championships to come my way.
Or you know,
as a you know individual.
Oh,
my teams have won championships.
Right. Well, you're an owner. You're an individual owner.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah,
that's a piece of the Packers. So you've had championships coming your way.
I have won more championships than the Wolf family has, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't have any hardware in my own trophy case myself. Got to go to Lambeau to see it. But let's move on, shall we? We'll be at the fair the next 2 Saturdays. We hope to see you out there. I say it every year. It's a great time for me to come to the fair as early in the morning. I think that's the best time. It's kind of surreal because when we come at 7:30, well, 8 for you, but at 7:30, it's just
dew out there, right?
Yeah, it's just eerie. It's quiet. Yeah. The smells are just starting to kind of percolate. But by the time we're done at 10, it's wall-to-wall people. You see the whole thing kind of populate
while we're there. Kind of come together.
Correct. I'm not a huge crowds person, so it's kind of nice to experience the fair where you can actually move around.
It's nice to get out and mingle with the crowd as you're walking through.
It is. You probably do a lot more of that because you're more recognizable. I don't have a little sign saying, hey, the head cheese, he's right here.
Oh,
people know who you are.
You did.
But no. Although I'm wearing my head cheese t-shirt today. I will not be wearing this next week at the fair.
You should.
Nah, I don't need
Why
to.
Why not?
Nah, I don't need to.
Well, you probably bring your Packer hat.
I'll probably do something to, wear the colors proudly. But it's fun to be out there. We hope to see you. If you are coming out next Saturday, come a little early, stop by, say hello. And we'd always like to have a few people hanging out with us. And we will be reviewing Vikings Seahawks next Saturday morning. That next game is Friday night. Got 2 games at the bank in the next 6 days as the roster starts to come into more focus and the pecking order and the depth chart. Talked about Dalvin Cook. Will he play? Won't he? I doubt he plays today. I'm curious to watch Laquon Treadwell today. It's a put-up-or-shut-up year for him. The opportunity's there. Sounds like Kendall Wright's getting a little chemistry going with Kirk Cousins early. Treadwell would like to assume that number 3 receiver role. How much do they use him today? What does he look like? Does he look like a serviceable player? Forget that he was a number 1 draft pick because that'll always be, it's kind of like the A.J. Hawk thing. You know, he was a fine linebacker. But because he was a top 10 pick, the expectations were crazy.
Yeah.
And Treadwell kind of in the same way. He was seen as one of the top 2 or 3 receivers in his class, and he has not at all yet performed or even gotten a chance to perform to that level. And this is his year, and it maybe starts today against a good defense. How much does he get out there early? Does he play with Cousins and the ones a little bit? I'm curious to see what they do with number 11.
But also, it's all about the offensive line as well. And, you know, many people have talked about can the offensive line hold up to protect Kirk Cousins. But he's going to have to get rid of the ball quickly. And we have seen throughout his career, sometimes he has a tendency to hold on to the ball just a little bit longer. And if your offensive line cannot give you that time, I think the Vikings may have to put him in a situation where Now he can get rid of the football a little bit quicker.
Yeah, he and I was watching the Redskins Jets game the other night where Teddy looked pretty good, and the announcers were talking about what made that coaching staff uncomfortable with Cousins was that when plays break down, that's when he was not at his best. When he's got to move around and make something happen, not great. Whereas Alex Smith, the new Redskins quarterback, is really good at that. That's one of the things he's known for.
Oh, for sure.
And they like that. So, you know, when your offensive line is not great and you know they're not going to protect for very long, you are going to see quick three-step drops and out. You know, quick pass plays, shorter patterns, and try to use...
You can't go to a seven-step drop.
No, oh. I don't think that's going to work really well with the players in front of him and for him. So, yeah, it'll be curious. I'll be curious to watch the plays put in for Cousins and who he looks to and how much do Diggs and Thielen play and how much do the backups that really need to kind of get a pecking order going behind those two guys, what kind of opportunities are there for them in these next 2 weeks?
And also, and if you know that the offensive line is not going to protect you for a long time, those receivers are going to have to get off the line very quickly. You know, they're going to have to, you know, break their contact, get themselves open so the quarterback can find them right away.
Cornerback also of interest, Mike Hughes, the number one pick. I think we'll get plenty of run today. Now, our two teams, I think, have three of the first four or five cornerbacks drafted. Denzel Ward went first, the fourth play overall to Cleveland. Packers took Jair Alexander at 18. Vikes take Mike Hughes, and the Packers come back with Iowa's Josh Jackson. Packers got a really good look at Josh Jackson Thursday night. He was lights out. He did not allow a completion. He had a pick six. He looks every bit the part. And Jair Alexander only played 10 snaps coming off a groin injury. But for those that looked at the All-22, which I did not, they raved about what he did. So good early returns for the Pack's two cornerbacks. Mike Hughes gets an opportunity today to show that he's more than just a return guy for a really good team. He can step in and maybe fight for that nickel job or that dime job. And again, there were off-the-field concerns with Hughes a little bit. Nobody was worried about the measurables, the talent. But, you know, as a fan, you want to see your number one pick out there. And that's what the preseason's for.
That's why you drafted him number one.
Right. And, you know, you've got a Super Bowl-caliber defense. You don't expect a rookie defender to step right in. But as we talked about, you know, Alexander is not taking that job, although there are, you know, reports in the paper today that he's taken a big step. I think Xavier Rhodes loves what he's seen and some of the other guys. Now, there's an opportunity for Mike Hughes to show in these next two games here at U.S. Bank that he should be in the mix. So, again, as a Viking fan, Treadwell, Hughes, to me, those are two of the guys you focus on to see what kind of a factor they might be with this year's team.
Well, yeah, but for me, it's the offensive line. You're playing against a stellar defense, you know, and you want to see if these guys can hold up. You know, can they find some chemistry and mesh together, you know, to make sure that the quarterback will have enough time in the pocket to make the plays that he needs to make.
Noon kickoff today. The Jaguars, I don't know what they're going to do, how much Blake Bortles will play. They've got kind of a new receiver group that he's got to get comfortable with. Leonard Fournette's a problem. You know, he's a big back. It's going to be interesting to see how that defense handles him. You never know how much the starters are going to play. Every team is so different. As I said, Patriots, they played six series with their starters Thursday night. Green Bay played one. Figure these two teams will be somewhere in between. Pittsburgh kept out their number one defense for quite a long time, too. Brett Hundley got to face that number one Steelers D for a good chunk of time, which is really useful as Green Bay tries to sort out
for him,
Hundley or Kaiser or Hundley, who's going to win the backup job. When you get to play against the top defense, you get a much better feel for what these guys are doing.
Oh, for sure. And I think even though Hundley struggled last year in the absence of Aaron Rodgers, but I think it may give him a nod coming into this season because, you know, he's been under the gun. He's been under the fire before. I believe that he will have a little bit more comfort, you know, with what the Packers are expecting of him. If Aaron Rodgers goes down once again, let's hope that he does not go down because you want to see the best players playing throughout the season.
Yep.
You know, but I think if the Packers had to go, you know, to another guy other than Aaron Rodgers, I think Hundley, based on what he went through last year, could be the guy that could step in and do a much better job.
Yeah, and Kaiser obviously started all year for Cleveland, and on the first preseason game, Hundley was way better than Kaiser. But then Thursday night, I thought Kaiser was maybe a little bit better than Hundley. So it's a really kind of an interesting battle. I don't think they keep both guys, and if they decide to roll with Kaiser, They might see if they can get a late draft pick for Hundley if some team.
Well, Hundley knows the system.
Like Oakland. Oakland needs a backup quarterback.
And Hundley knows the system. You know, if something happened to Aaron Rodgers today, I'm asking you as a Green Bay Packer fan, I mean, who would you trust right now between the two?
Well, right now, probably Hundley. Yeah. After what I watched last year, it makes me vomit in my mouth to even say that. But yes, I mean, if I had to have a guy right now to play and it wasn't number 12, I'd probably roll with Hundley. But let's not kid ourselves. Without Rodgers, the Packers are not a Super Bowl contender. It's just the way it is.
Well, it's hard for any team to lose one of their better players to stay in the mix. And what makes championship team? Well, for one, you know, your best players can stay healthy throughout the season. You know, you can mesh together. Your big time players can perform at the most critical time of the year. You know, no team is going to win a championship with their best players on the sideline.
Except for the Eagles.
They still have some of their best players.
Well, Wentz went down, and they had a veteran reliever that came in and took him to the Super Bowl.
Well, Nick Foles is pretty good now.
Well, he is now. Who was saying that a year ago, though? Nobody was saying, Nick Foles is one of the best backups in football. Nobody was really saying
that. He was a starter
for
a while, wasn't he?
Yeah, but there's plenty of.
And weren't the Eagles a playoff team under Nick Foles? They made the playoffs under Nick Foles when he's quarterback?
Was he?
I'm asking you. You're a football guy.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I you know me, my memory. I don't remember that, but maybe. Nobody, when Wentz went down, nobody outside of Philly, even nobody in Philly,
yeah,
probably thought that the Eagles had a chance.
I mean, the Atlanta Hawks had a chance to knock him out. Falcons.
Yeah.
But first and goal, yep. You know, inside the red zone. Matt Ryan, your boy, couldn't cash in.
My boy.
Yeah. You touted him as being one of the top quarterbacks in the league a few years ago.
He was the MVP 2 years ago.
Right. I mean, he couldn't cash in.
28-3.
Well, that was a tough, yeah. Came back to hunting for sure, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But you know what? Now the Hawks can't make the playoffs.
No, I don't think so. I don't think that's in any sport.
In no really. League, right?
Yeah. 9:13, we'll step away, come back. More NFL discussion when we return in the zone.
You're in the zone on the Fan.
This hour brought to you by Madden's Ungoalie.
With you at 9:19 on a pretty nice looking Saturday morning here in the Twin Cities. Trent Tucker, Dave Sinekin with you till the top of the hour. Pretty NFL centric right now. We're still about a month away, I think, from NBA training camps opening up. Another NBA season upon us. The Wolves are not getting a lot of love from the national media. I saw a story on ESPN.com yesterday. Which teams are likely to jump into the playoffs? Which teams are likely to fall out of the playoffs? Your Wolves were the first team listed.
To fall out.
You know, they really didn't. They touched on the fact that Butler missed 21 games, but to me that's a much bigger. And they said they just barely made it in, which we know it took till the final game of the season, but the Butler injury obviously factored in. I think the reported internal strife is what has most national pundits may be pessimistic that this team can band together and fight for one of the coveted eight spots in a very competitive Western Conference. Right now, as things stand, knowing what we think we know about what's going on inside that locker room, do you think that's a fair assessment for your favorite NBA basketball team?
For me, the interesting part will be, can they put this locker room back together? If those stories are true, what we've heard so far this summer, you know, the disconnect between, you know, Jimmy Butler and the two young players. And if Coach Tibbs cannot find a way to put this train back on the tracks, you know, they could really fall off the rails very quickly.
Yeah, it's kind of ominous, and you look at what all the other teams around them have done to add parts this year. We know money-wise, the Wolves didn't have much money to add a whole lot. They brought in Anthony Tolliver to address the three-point shooting. They hope their two rookies, Okogie and Bates Diop, can step in, do rotation roles, and be serviceable players. These are not 18-year-old kids. These are guys with some miles on them in the college game. But, you know, they didn't add an Isaiah Thomas. They didn't add, you know, a big-time player to the mix, whereas a lot of other teams, like the Lakers, did. So,
well, Lakers, you know, had the best player.
They did. They did. Although I still think they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot. But you always talk about Memphis, a team that was abysmal. They get Mike Conley back. They still have Marc Gasol in a top-five pick. They're going to be heard from as well.
Oh, for sure.
It's going to be it'll be just like last year. It'll be like eight teams fighting for five spots.
You know, the Wolves are good enough to make the playoffs. You know, the Wolves have some talent. You know, Teague is still a good player. In his second year, he may have a better understanding how to play with his teammates compared to a season ago. You know, but the major concern if these allegations are true, you know, that Butler is and these two young guys cannot see eye to eye, and things are going south very, very quickly, and if the coaching staff or the organization cannot find a way, you know, to mend these guys back together, it could be a long season. It would be very, very unfortunate, you know, for the fans in Minnesota to see this thing come apart so quickly.
And it's one of those deals where you kind of have to know quickly, right? Because if things are not going well and you know that they're not enjoying playing together, well, then you have to decide, do you move on from Butler if you're feeling he's not going to re-sign? Do you make a deal before the trade deadline and get something for him, or do you just lose him? Then you deal with all the Wolves fans that bemoan the loss of LaVine and Dunn and the chance to draft Markkanen if they would have, in return having nothing to show for it. So it's got to come together, and they have to be cohesive early, or the organization may have a really tough decision to make in early February.
Oh, for sure. And I believe that Jimmy Butler, you know, whether he's here throughout the entire season or not, you know, he's going to test the free agency market next summer.
You're sure about that?
Without a doubt. Whether he's here or not, you know, he's going to put himself in the mix. You know, there are a lot of teams that's going to have more money to spend. There's going to be some different opportunities for players to take a long look at. And I just believe that Jimmy Butler wants to put himself in that situation.
Well, and if he does, then there's no way he stays here, right? I mean,
just turned down 110.
But that there was no reason for anybody
right,
to sign that. I would have turned down that.
So that's what I'm saying. He's going to put himself in the free agency market. And who knows what's going to happen from there.
Well, you say that, but the Wolves can also offer him tens of millions more than anybody else can.
Well, like at San Antonio, they could offer Kawhi Leonard more than anyone else could as well.
Right. And
he was not coming back.
Right, so that was a real fractured relationship.
Well, now based on what we've heard this summer, how fractured are the Wolves right now?
Yeah.
Between Jimmy Butler and the two young stars.
Yeah, it's not with the front office like it reportedly was with Kawhi and the Spurs.
But it's hard to play with guys you don't want to play with.
Right.
If you don't want to play with someone and you have a chance to, you know, to exit and put yourself in a situation where now you can find another place to go and work, you know, I would have to believe that Jimmy Butler is looking to put himself in that situation. But as a Wolves fan, it was great, you know, to see, you know, the excitement in game number 3 against the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
That place was electric. But, you know, you were just hoping going into the offseason that, you know, the conversation would be very positive. Guys are working hard, understanding now they have a great opportunity to take the next step. We have a young core of guys along with the veteran star that we've been looking for so many years. And now it seems like we have all these pieces coming together and good times are just around the corner for us, and then you come up this summer with this negativity. It's just hard for Wolves fans to take once again.
It is, and we know the landscape is likely to change big time next year with all the big-time free agents available. Many will stay where they are, but many more will move on. It's unlikely the Warriors will keep all their pieces. Conventional wisdom says if they got to lose one, it might be Draymond Green between him and Clay. One of those guys is likely to move on. If one of those guys leaves, Clay or Draymond, which, if either, would be more damaging to their continued championship run? What would be a more difficult loss for that team to to stay, you know, at the top of the food chain in the NBA?
If they lose Klay Thompson.
That would hurt them more?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, we saw what he did 2 years ago in game six against Oklahoma City. When Steph Curry couldn't find the basket, Draymond Green was struggling. You know, it looks like that OKC was going to take, you know, take the big step and knock out Golden State and move on to the championship round. You know, Klay Thompson comes up with a 46-point performance. And he's one guy that, you know, that can score 40 or 50 points without taking more than 20 dribbles.
Klay, you're right. Or even like less than three. Klay seems like the kind of guy that could be a stud anywhere, where Draymond, such an unusual skill set and personality, that he's sort of sheltered by all the other big egos and stars on this team, that if he goes somewhere where he's a bigger fish in a smaller pond, I don't know that he'd be the same impactful player.
Well, the system may not fit his game. You know, Draymond Green found the right system and the right place for the things that he brings to the table as a basketball player. You know, you put him on a team where he has to do more than he's asked to do. He could struggle. You know, but Klay Thompson is a guy that can fit in anywhere. You know, he's a catch and shoot guy, and you can't find too many of those guys. He can play up and down the floor. He can play half-court basketball, because when you can shoot the basketball like he can, you're a perfect fit for anyone.
And, you know, outside of maybe James Harden, Durant, I mean, he's right up there, top three or four, and Curry. I mean, really, they've got three of the best five shooters in the league on that team. Klay would be coveted anywhere. And I'd be surprised if he does leave. I don't think the Warriors will let him go.
Well, I mean, wherever he goes, let's say if he leaves Golden State, you know, he's going to have to go to a team, and the coaches have to understand that you're going to have to run plays for him. You know, he's
not going to create his own shot.
Right. You know, he's not just a great one-on-one type player, you know, but he's a guy, you know, that if you use him the right way, he becomes a heck of a player for you.
Let's head to the zone lines, talk some NBA with Warren in Maplewood. Good morning.
Yeah. I'm just kind of really surprised that people talk about the Minnesota two young stars, because I think if you took a look at, I don't think there's five players or less in the league that have played as many games as they have at their age. And I'll tell you the key thing with those two is they haven't been injured. I think these other players that came in the league I don't think they have as big of an advantage as these two that are the Timberwolves have. And I'll make a prediction. I think these two they drafted are going to really make a big impact this year. I think the Minnesota players, I think the reason why they get downcasted so much is usually Trent knows when these young players come in the league, they might start at a hot level, that they're not going to always play that way. But look at the age of the two that are on this team and the no injuries. I think the Jimmy Butler thing, I think he's a joke, because I don't think he plays healthy very often. I think that his body is beat up enough where I don't think he can play at a full season health-wise. And I think at the end of the season, I think his play diminishes. And I don't think he's as good of a player as people give him credit for, just strictly for his injury history. I'll just hang up and listen.
All right. Thanks, Warren.
Well, you know, Jimmy's a grinder. You know, he's worked very hard to get to where he is. I mean, he's put himself in a situation where he's an all-star type player. You know, but when you're a grinder at some point in time of the long haul, your body does begin to wear down. And he had some injuries in Chicago as well. We saw him go down this year with the meniscus injury. You're just hoping, you know, that if he stays here throughout the entire season, that he can stay healthy and stay on the floor for a large portion of the season.
Yeah, we saw what this team was like when he was not a part of the team, and they look like an entirely different team. If they want to crack that eight, he's got to be on the court for 80 games, and whether his body can hold up, don't know. It's not going to stop any team from offering him the most money they can offer, because he does bring that lunch bucket, blue collar, whatever you want to call it, a guy that was drafted 30th. We've talked about his past, not recruited, went to Marquette, had to earn playing time, and got to where he is, where he's a third-team All-NBA player this past season. And, you know, is it about, I had to work so hard to get here, and look at these guys have been given everything. They've been anointed, you know, the Michael Jordan of Canada for Wiggins, you know, and Cat, you know, was always thought of as a stud, a can't miss prospect, and does that irk him that it came so easily for these guys and they're going to fall into all this money and he had to work his butt off? You'd like to think that, hey, that's the way the world works, you know?
But these young guys have worked hard very well.
Of course they have. They can't help that they're immensely gifted.
Right, I mean, you know, just because you have talent, you still have to put the work in, you know, to complete the puzzle.
And maybe, but he feels apparently, reportedly, that they don't put as much work in as they could. That's what we're reading about.
But to get to where they are, where Karl Anthony Towns became an all-star type player, I mean, he put in tremendous work to get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't put up 20-plus points a night without working. Now, there are some guys who do it differently. You know, there are some guys who are a little bit more gifted. It seems like they're not putting in the effort. But they are working very, very hard. And there are guys who are grinders. You know, and Jimmy Butler is a grinder. And he has grinded his way into a situation where he has become an all-star player. And if he stays healthy, you know, he's going to have another big-time payday in front of him.
9:32, we'll step away one final time today. Come back and preview again. Vikes-Jaguars coverage begins as soon as we are done at the top of the hour. Phone lines available, 651-989-5326 or toll-free, 800-320-5326. You want to talk Wolves? You want to talk NFL? Now is your chance. We're back right after these.
Vikings-Jaguars today.
Everyone likes to, you know, scrapbook. You scrapbook on the couch, the kitchen counter, and your favorite place to scrapbook, the bedroom. And what could possibly make scrapbooking any better? KY Duration. With KY Duration Spray and Gel, men everywhere are scrapbooking longer, and that's great for their partners who really enjoy scrapbooking too. So go ahead, scrapbook tonight with KY Duration Spray and Gel for men. Last longer, stay in the moment, use as directed. And
segment. Today's edition of In the Zone on the Fan. Trent Tucker and Dave Sinekin with you again. Following us today, Vikings football Sunday pregame to get you ready for a preseason game. Noon kickoff on the Fan, the home of the purple. Vikings Jaguars. PA Pete Bursich, Greg Coleman, cast of thousands will bring you all the action today. And then following the post game show, it'll be Fantasy Football Weekly, broadcasting from Canterbury Park today. And then that will be followed by their fantasy football training camp off the air. But for those in attendance at the Expo Center at Canterbury Park, free to be there, you will get lots of inside info to get you set for your draft or your auction. Most of those are going to be started up here in the next couple of weeks. So a big day on the Fan today. Hope you'll keep it with us on 100.3 FM and our sister network stations all across the region throughout the day today. More Vikings-Jags talk here in our final segment. But first, one call held over to chat about Jimmy Butler. We welcome Chad from Holdingford. I believe you are our first Holdingford caller. What's up?
Not much. Yeah, Holdingford, I don't know if you guys even know. It's a population of about 700, so I'm a country boy.
Where are you? Where are you at? Where is Holdingford?
So if you go St. Cloud, it's about 20 miles west, northwest. Out in the country a ways, I just got a house out there on 6 acres that I'm pretty proud of. I actually live down in the cities. I'm a proud Golden Gopher as well, but I couldn't stand the traffic, so I got as far away from it as I could.
All right. Well, thanks for checking in. What's on your mind?
Well, so I got to admit, first off, basketball is relatively new as far as fandom goes for me. I'm a diehard Vikings fan, so I apologize if I'm speaking out of turn, but the Jimmy Butler thing frustrates me the most because I think it's tragic but true. He's got something that is just called work ethic, and it's rare as an attribute for these guys these days. And I see him grinding all the time, and he's constantly pushing to be better, and he's always had to have that mentality. And you have these younger guys come in who are talented, as talented as anyone in the world at what they do, but you don't see the consistent push to want to be better on a daily basis. They disappear during games, and it's a lot of stat stuffing, unfortunately, which just frustrates me. So my question is, could the issue with Jimmy Butler and these kids just be, he sees how hard he works on a daily basis. He doesn't see that same return from these guys who are getting all this money thrown at him, and it just makes him bitter in a way that it's not something he can see, but if someone else that has that same level of work ethic.
Yeah, it's a school of thought. Thanks for checking in, Chad. Enjoy lazing around your 6 acres.
All right, it's nice up there. Huh?
It sounds beautiful. Yeah. I mean, that is a school of thought, that's what's going on there. We don't know how close to the truth that is, and we don't know that Wiggins and Towns don't have the work ethic, or maybe they do, but Butler's is such to an extreme level that nobody else can approach what that is. I don't know, but I think there is some generational, even though they're not that different in age, 7 or 8 years, there is a difference in how those guys are wired, and it does appear to rub Butler the wrong way, to the point where he had a hard time playing with those guys, if what we read in the offseason is true. It's a difficult situation.
Yeah, I mean, if your best players are not on the same page, you have to think about this, you know, much sooner than later, about if this is not going to work out, something's got to change right away.
What are the chances, if this is all true, what are the chances the light bulb goes off under the two young guys, and they come in with an entirely different workout intensity, and they bring it in practice, in shoot around, and they're committed in an entirely different way? You know, they're young. They're 21, 22. Maybe they haven't figured it out. Maybe they have, but maybe they haven't. Maybe they will. As you say, it's going to have to happen quickly if it does happen, right?
Well, I mean, Carl Anthony Towns is an all-star. It's already happened for him.
Yep.
You know, Wiggins has been a 20-point scorer throughout his young career so far.
Yeah, but there's more. You know, there's more to it than that. Being named an All-Star, being a 20-point scorer, you can still get better. You can still be a better player.
I'm not saying he can't get better.
By the time you're 25,
right? But I don't think it's a work ethic thing. I just think here's a guy that wants to move on and play somewhere else.
That's what you ultimately think.
Yeah,
you think he wants to go somewhere.
Yeah,
and this is his excuse or his line of reasoning to appease the media and the fans.
Now, I would like to be wrong, but I just believe that Jimmy Butler wants to play somewhere else.
To the zone lines. Nothing much to add to that. If you're right, you're right, and then he does his thing, and the Wolves move on. It's just how far we've come from 16 months ago when the trade happened and all the excitement, optimism, the perfect all-star for this market and this team, and what we thought. And here we are, a year and change later. It's going up in smoke. Email to the Bradshaw and Bright inbox from Aaron. Dave and Trent, with school starting soon, what was Trent's first impression of Williams Arena when he started at the U? And what is your guys' opinion of the Maryland problem? He also asked whether I think Rodgers needs to win another title to pass number 4 in Packers fandom. All right, your first impression. Do you remember the first time you saw the raised floor and the old barn when you were a high school senior?
Yes.
What were your thoughts?
Making sure I didn't fall off it. You know, could I stop quick enough before I went over the edge?
Did you ever fall off it?
Never.
No.
I only saw one guy in my 4 years fall off. Herb Williams, Ohio State.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he get hurt?
No, the fans caught him.
Nice.
They saved him, but a wonderful place to play, you know. I know many people have talked about, you know, doing some changes. I'm okay with some modified changes, you know, to Williams Arena, but you can't tear it down.
Agreed. I love the look of the new floor. Have you seen it?
I haven't.
It actually, to me, fits the old school feel of the place. It's just muted colors, not quite as bright, you know, yellow as it's been. I like the look of it, but I'm with you. It's a treasure. It's Assembly Hall in Bloomington, which is my point of reference, is much newer. It was built in the early 70s, but it still, today, feels old-fashioned because it doesn't have, like, circular seating. It's almost football. It's all on the sides and not really in the end zones except for some floor seating. So it has that old-school feel like, man, they should tear this down and build a new modern arena. But no, it's what makes it special. And,
yeah, for sure.
And, man, the barn is just, it's like the old Chicago Stadium. When they tore that down and went to the United Center, man, Chicago lost a piece of its soul there. Yeah. It just wasn't the same.
I mean, it was a huge home advantage for us, you know, especially when teams came from, either the Deep South or West Coast to play in December and January, where that was a home court just because of the weather. You know, but Williams Arena was a fantastic place to play. I mean, when the fans got involved and you got late in the second half, you know, against a Big Ten rival like Iowa or Michigan or Ohio State, and just to hear the electricity in that building and to feel that electricity in the building, what a fantastic place to play.
No, it's awesome. And you hope that this team this year can bring some of those echoes back with some high hopes, that a lot of returning guys from injury, you know, Coffee, Curry, that this team can compete. And speaking of, it doesn't have quite the electricity of the April NFL schedule release, but I think Tuesday the Big Ten basketball schedule is released. And, you know, that's something I always watch carefully. You know, I like to look at, you know, when IU's coming here.
Will they have some early Big Ten games once again this year?
Yeah, I believe so.
In early December?
I'm not sure, but I think they went to a longer Big Ten. I think there are more Big Ten games now, right? I think they have altered the schedule.
I know they had some earlier games last year in December, right?
That was because the tournament was at the Garden, and they were playing it a week early, and it messed with the season. I don't think that's the case this year. That said, they might still have some early games. Something seems to tell me they do. But the Big Ten tournament will be back on that final weekend, as it usually is, unlike last year. Schedule comes out Tuesday. I know my son Jackson wants to make a road trip to IU, so I'll be looking at the Big Ten schedule to see.
Well, IU is a great place.
What looks like the right place.
And I was, when I was working for the Big Ten Network, and my first trip, you know, as a broadcaster for the Big Ten Network, to go back into Assembly Hall was fantastic. I hadn't been there in so long, and when you're away for a very long time, you know, you forget exactly what this building even really feels like.
Yeah, it's a neat place. A lot of great memories for me there. Aaron also wanted to ask about the Maryland situation. Tragic situation where a player died on the practice field, and the coach is on administrative leave. I don't think he'll keep his job.
How can he?
I don't see how he can. It's a horrible situation. I'm frankly surprised we don't see more of this, because you just think that, you know, you look at some of the strength and conditioning coaches, they're paid more than some pro coordinators are in some of the big football schools. They got a lot of power. They push these guys. Everybody's got to take a step back. And you hate for something like this to bring it to attention, but it looked like it was a toxic atmosphere there. And DJ Durkin, I think his career is going to come to an end.
Well, you know, they lost control of themselves. I mean, I'm all for pushing athletes to the limit, but at some point in time, you have to understand enough is enough. As a head coach, I mean, strength and conditioning guy, I mean, you can't go overboard. And once a player gets to a point where there's nothing else left in the tank, you have to understand that, hey, it's time to back off. It's time to back off. I get the fact that we want guys to be tough. We want people to be able to compete and show a competitive spirit at a very high level. You know, but we're also talking about, you know, the lives of these young people. And we have to make sure that if we are in a leadership position where we're going to oversee these young men and young women, we have to make sure we take care of them the right way.
Interesting, and I think good to see that Maryland took full responsibility, accountability for this young man's death. You don't always see that kind of honesty, transparency from an administration, from a school. They're going to face a major, major lawsuit, and they know it, and they realize they deserve it. But to hear them go front and center and take responsibility is, I think, a good first step. I wonder why it's taken 4 months. This happened back in, what, April or May? It's taken a while for it to really...
Yeah, because people not know about it.
How do you not know about it?
Well, yeah.
I mean, I can see John from Minneapolis not knowing about it because he doesn't look at the internet, but most people do.
Well, yeah, I mean, they knew about it, but it hadn't hit the press yet.
I guess.
Yeah, you know, once it becomes a story outside of your building... Now you begin to take notice for sure. But, you know, I've worked out, you know, many of players and over the years and, you know, during the summer months when it's very, very hot and guys who are in tip-top condition. But, you know, my major concern is their health. You know, sure, I push guys. You know, I want them to get out there and work hard and compete because they're trying to get to a certain level where I know the competition is very, very stiff. But at the end of the day, You know, if you're in that situation where, you know, you're the leadership of young men and young women, you have to make sure you take care of them the right way.
Amen. All right, final few minutes for us before we hand off to Vikings Football Sunday pregame show for the Vikes-Jags game. Notice a tweet during our last break from Twin Cities guy, NFL Network guy, Tom Pelissero. If you're wondering how much of Kirk Cousins in the first string offense you might see today, this tweet might give you a hint. Tommy tweets that Vikings guard Mike Remmers is going through a rehab workout pregame, so it appears he'll be out again today. Sounds like Rashad Hill may sit too. Pat Elflein is on PUP. Nick Easton's on IR. They'll patch it together again for Kirk Cousins' home debut versus a very good Jaguars D. That's not a great recipe when you're down, what, four starters? Is Riley Reiff then the only starter that's going to play today? That has to impact what you decide to do, because the Jags aren't going to go, oh, their linemen are out. All right, well, let's just you know, be nice to them today because all these backups can't compete. That's a mismatch for Kirk Cousins and that offense, and it tells me I don't know that you play Kirk more than a couple series unless those guys are holding up, and they held up pretty well last week, but the Jags D is a different animal.
Well, I mean, you have an opportunity now to show what you can do. You hate to see guys go down. You hate to see some of your best players on the injury reserve list, but all of a sudden now it gives guys who are playing behind them an opportunity to show, hey, this is why you put me on this team, because now I have a chance to step in to show my worth. And maybe if these guys are going to be out much longer than this week or next week, going into the regular season, you can count on me now to step up to get the job done.
Yeah, and are they up to the challenge of one of the top front sevens, top defenses in football? That's going to be something to watch today. We talked earlier, doubt we see Dalvin Cook today. I'd be surprised. Maybe you see him Friday night a little bit against Seattle. How much run does Laquon Treadwell get? Does he play at all with Cousins to try to get some chemistry going? And how does the cornerback group look after Xavier Rhodes? Who's going to step up and, you know, between, yes, okay, you've got Trey Waynes, you know he's going to be out there as the number two guy. Does Alexander look like he has figured it out, as the paper reports today? Some of the players believe he's taken a big step. Will Mike Hughes get a chance in that nickel role to supplant Alexander and prove that he's ready as the number one pick? So as an outsider, as a non-Viking fan, I'll be watching to see how much Treadwell does. And the cornerback group for sure.
So you will sit down and watch?
Yeah, I'm going to watch. Oh. I'll watch the first half.
Okay.
Yeah, noon, Saturday, before I head out to Canterbury. Absolutely.
Oh.
Why wouldn't I?
No kid events today?
No. It's off season. I think fast pitch softball gets right back in the groove next week or so. So I got a little window here. Play some golf tomorrow with the kids.
Okay.
But today, yeah, I'm going to watch the first half of the Viking. That's enough
All right.
For me. And then, as
that's
I said,
a lot for you.
Not really. And then Friday night
for you, for the watch the Vikings.
Of course,
man, that's a lot for you.
Hey, I want to be very well versed in the Pack's biggest competition in the North, as they look to get their rightful spot back atop.
Oh, the Vikes at number one. Oh, thanks for saying that.
Friday night they're back in action against the Seahawks, and next Saturday morning, Trent and I will be the first to be able to discuss what we saw Friday night at the Bank in the biggest rehearsal game, because we all know week four of the preseason will be a bunch of backups trying to fill out the back end of the roster. Friday night against a Seahawks team that I think is several notches below what we're accustomed to, with a big change on their defense. Legion of Boom is now bust. I'm looking forward to watching Friday night. As I said, a little doubleheader. Packers-Raiders late Friday night. So we'll have lots of football to talk about from the fair.
Well,
next Saturday morning.
Well, you guys could have someone going back to Green Bay with you once you make your trip to the
right?
West Coast.
Just have Khalil get on the plane
right,
with us.
Why not?
We'll leave him. We'll let Brett Hundley stay by. Maybe even Clay. Well, we could talk about it. At this point, I don't think it's going to happen. It's a little too late in the preseason, but maybe. I don't know. If it's really
toxic,
too late between the Raiders and Khalil Mack, we would take him. Packers' biggest need is a pass rusher. He would fit that bill rather nicely.
You guys may pick up Dez Bryant.
That's not going to happen.
Why not?
Two words, Jake Kumerow.
He's mine.
Have a good weekend, my friend.
You're the same, buddy.
For Double T, I'm Dave Sinekin. Hope to see you next Saturday morning at the Great Minnesota Get Together. Stay tuned for Vikings Football on the Fan. Until next Saturday, peace out.
You're in the zone with Dave Sinekin and Trent Tucker on the Fan.